97.7 Dundalk FM.
Una Curley, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Una, you are a mixed media artist. You are also another member of Art as Exchange. We've had quite a few of your group in here lately. Yeah. You're very welcome to Town Talk.
Thank you.
I think you've been here before.
Years and years and in another life.
In another life, in a previous existence.
Not promoting myself, but promoting a programme I used to run for owner managers, you know, and about personal development and developing their companies and helping them to grow.
Okay. Yeah. So, personal development, and maybe we're going to make you talk about yourself this morning and your personal development, because you, as I understand, you took yourself back to art college and started out that new life.
I did. And I suppose that one morning I woke up and said, I'm an awful liar. You know, I felt I'd been telling everybody else that they really should follow their hearts or they'll never grow in the direction that they need to grow in, and particularly companies and trying to grow. And a lot of people are, I think, miserable in jobs that they don't actually fit. And we kind of blindly go on. So I woke up one morning and said, OK, well, that's it, Una. You're going to go back and just try this art, because not doing art had become a story for me. You know, I wasn't allowed to do art at school. So that became my story. And I hung on that for a while. So I kind of felt one day I needed to unpick that a little bit. And I went back and I went to Drogheda Institute of Further Education and just did an art course there with Simon Rainford. And then I went into the level 6 fashion design with Joan and Joanne there. They do the portfolio preparation, and it was a wonderful year, really great year. And we worked really hard. It was a very hard course. And based on that, on a project with the textiles, I got into NCAD and ended up graduating from NCAD in 2015.
Well,
with textile art and artifact,
Congratulations. You're originally from Kerry.
Yep.
You mentioned Diffie there. So I presume by the time you had this epiphany and you decided to go back into, you'd already come to this neck of the woods?
I do, yes. I grew up in Tarbert, and my mother was from Dingle. My father was from Glasslock in Monaghan. So he had taken early retirement and unfortunately only got 11 months of that early retirement. So before his 64th birthday, he died, and I ended up moving from Kerry back up then with them to Glasslock, and sure loved it. It's a lovely village too, but it took me a while to get the sea out of my system. But I eventually settled in. And
no car ferry in Glasslock.
No. Oh, no. No car ferry. We used to meet school in the car ferry one time. Yeah. But no, I ended up then marrying in Carrickmacross. So that's where I'm living now, in Carrickmacross.
Ah, sure. Listen, you're...
I'm a local. Yeah,
spitting distance from the quay. You can get in and have a look at it every time you want.
Absolutely. I'm regularly found on Claverhead, I can tell you. Yeah, that'd be just nip over there for a walk in the morning if we can.
Okay, so you graduated NCAD.
I did.
And what then?
Then I said, what then? I said that to myself as well. So I don't know, it just became a bit of a whirlwind. Unfortunately, during that time, my mother died as well. So that was a big life-changing thing, and I don't think I had properly grieved. And so a lot of the stuff came up for me in that as well, in that project. But I got a great residency in Creative Spark. Wonderful start to finishing, and that was in 2015, the end of 2015, and then I got the inaugural artist in residence with Antoine Basement Gallery, and that was fantastic altogether. Great start. And then I was in Antoine and I looked at all the stuff, and what the opportunity in Antoine gave me to do was to display all of my works, and which I hadn't taken out in this 7-year journey. And it was, oh my God, it was an epiphany for me, you know, with the whole professional development. And I said, oh my, this journey of change, it's like so many things that we go through. So I developed Mi Camino a Través del Art, which I invite the viewer to walk through my art pieces. So as if you were going through a journey of change yourself. So it deals with issues of confidence and no confidence, and unpicking something that fundamentally does work. I was a very successful, very functioning corporate world person, and but I always felt there was something else I needed to be doing. And then it dealt with grief. Yeah, the community deals with grief and deals with failure and things that block us personally along the journey. And all of the art pieces would have been an epiphany for me, if you like.
Yeah,
you know? And it culminates then with what I currently do, which is I'm very interested in eco, you know, and environmental issues and carbon footprint and how we spend and slow fashion. And during that 8-year journey, I never bought anything. I didn't go into a boutique or a shop or anything. And Well, obviously food. You'd know to look at me. I didn't. I didn't avoid that.
What is slow fashion? And I think you've explained it, that you don't update your wardrobe to...
Not at all, no.
And I'd say, but it's economic necessity.
That's me as well. Yeah, due to laziness.
You know, and like my own daughter, you know, she would just buy in pennies and that was it. One wear. And this one wear would end up on the floor and I'd end up washing it, never worn again. And, you know, just buy a really just decent item and hold on to it, you know. So, you know, you got a pair of jeans, you hold on to them for a good long time. And I have clothes for 10, 20 years, you know. I don't, I'm a great advocate for, you know, swapping. Friends love to give me stuff so I can tailor that and take it in and take it out or...
Absolutely,
let it out usually.
Yeah. which is what was done for centuries.
Absolutely,
really.
Repair, reuse, recycle.
I'm still recycling clothes from family and friends.
You have an advantage over the rest of Una in that you obviously you have some kind of facility with a needle and thread, and thread most especially because you brought with you the items that you told me you used to for your portfolio for NCAD.
Yeah.
And they're maybe you'd explain them. They're little sweets,
textile sweets. Yeah, they're just, they're always a big hit with everybody that comes to the show and particularly the kids and everything. I love my art to be easy. You know, you can be as conceptual as you like. And like there is, if you go onto my website, there's a blog on there about candy, you know, and how sweetness it is. And so there's many layers to sweets and our association with them. And, you know, candy coated, we have a lot of metaphors as well to go with them. But I'm also trying to get people to slow down. So in my attempt to slow myself down, I find if I know what I'm doing and making, I feel more relaxed because I'm constantly, as an artist now, it's even worse. Mm. I'm always making it up. At least when I had a job, you know, you turned off the phone in the evening. Now as an artist, I'm never off. So like it's very important for me in the evening to be able to turn my head off, you know, to get to sleep. And but, you know, you could wrap for hours the thread around things. I tend to do all of my work now is very labour intensive. So, like, you tend to find you'd never be paid for this, and it's a big bugbear that we don't actually pay for things that people give time and their effort towards. We just want to blindly pick up things, not knowing where they have come from or anything of the history. So the sweets are pleasant to look at, but loaded with metaphors. And
I kind of get that. I know a few years back, sort of, somewhere after the crash and when we were just, you know, coming around to things and we'd slow down a bit and we'd realise there was nothing we could do about it, there was a huge growth in well, I suppose particularly for women, but no, I'm sure there were some males as well, craft classes. People were going along to stitch a bitch, or they were taking up crochet. Yeah. And there is a therapy in that. I think that's
absolutely. There was a book written on, I remember my mother when she was angry with us at cross, you know, she'd lock herself in the hot press. We had a big hot press, you know, and she'd go in and tidy it out.
I mean,
there is a book written on tidying your hot press, you know, as a therapy. And I know it myself, you know, if things are untidy, you know, we feel a little bit untidy ourselves. So wrapping for me is one of those meditative things. Now, my signature piece that is out at the moment is the lace. I call them Carrick Macross laces. It's just a play on the word, you know, Carrick is famous for its laces. But they're shoelaces and they're 57 foot long and they're hand woven, pure new wool. A lot of people will walk past them and say, oh, look at the rope. No, it's not a rope. It's pure new wool. It's hand woven. And the threads to weave were made on a knit machine, which took 80 hours of knit machining. So like that's just making a point that we overlook things that are very useful in life, like a woven shoelace. We all tie it. We never think, do we ever think about where, how it's made or where it comes from? And they're thrown out with all the shoes. And like I'm always taking the bits of strings and the things that are left, you know, on items. And so the woven shoelace is a symbol of the what price is the maker's hand, you know, and it is, as I said, a lot of hours. And I make the metaphor, if I was to get my old salary, I'd have to get a certain amount of money for this. If I was to get minimum wage, I'd have to get a certain amount of money. And if I was to get, you know, somebody in the art department who's getting a very high wage supposedly to look after me, then I'd have to get a massive amount of money.
I think you've just confirmed my next question, because when you were talking about all this, I said there's a certain element of that previous existence you talked about informing all of what you're doing creatively.
Yes.
And quite obviously from what you just said.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'd love, like, my whole idea of my art is, while it's pleasant to look at, it's very emotive. That when I invite people to walk through the installation, I had it up there in Dundalk Jail for the Bridget O'Faherty Festival. And it's a very emotive piece, and a lot of people can get caught in a certain, you know, one of the pieces will just strike them, and it's mm-hmm. wonderful, it's beautiful. So I want to give the viewer a way into their own awareness and their own emotions, which I suppose a lot of my work is about the overlooked. Okay, you know, come on, just think a little bit more about things. And one of those things is our feelings and emotions. And if I can get people to just think a little bit more about them and step back from them a little bit, and well, what's driving them, what are they feeling themselves, then I consider that my job well done. Yeah.
Can I ask you about the artist exchange? How did you get involved with that?
Bernard Gall and Sarah Deddy, you know, Sarah said, would I be interested in meeting up with this Bernard Gall, mm-hmm. wanted to get a group together. And I said, God, I'd love that, because I'm really, I suppose I have a master's in communication, and I found myself when I went back to do art, I found a whole new language that I didn't know I had. So I always say now that words are not my first language. And I wanted to share that with others. And I'm, you know, I do a lot of work volunteering and free. And so Sarah said, would you be interested in working in or joining the AAEX? We hadn't called it anything at the time. And we just met, and that was it. I loved it. I love the idea of it. So we do free public art, and I love that area. But I'm particularly interested in adults, that they would get a chance to understand how precious art is. Like, an awful lot of the adults bring the kids to the door and drop them off, whereas I want to tap into the adult child, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then that's something you mentioned earlier, and then you've just reminded me of it. I did want to ask you about it. You said you weren't allowed to do art as a young person. Now, are you talking about when you were in your second level education?
Yeah, second level education. You know the way you've got these choices.
Choices.
And so I did all the business subjects. I did love them too, you know, but I did want desperately to do art. And
and who denied you that opportunity? Was your education?
My very caring dad. I think he was worried, you know. He said, you'd only end up, you know, drawing on the street corner, you know. And still that's the perception of art, isn't it, really?
Well, I think, you know, we've moved on. We've moved on considerably.
Well, we have moved on, but you know, there isn't a whole pile of money in art itself. So that's why that whole thing has to be unpicked as well. Mm. You know, as an artist, people don't pay for, like, I spend all day, all night conceptualizing, thinking, exploring materials, like half-started projects everywhere. The common word in my, what's that supposed to be? Everyone says that, yes, marry. Says it too, and Jerry, you know, they'd have to live in the house. What's that supposed to be? And that's hanging off the ceiling. And, you know, I just try and see how, you know, curiosity came back for me. And that was the most pleasurable thing with all of this. And I think we have forgotten to be curious.
Isn't there a wealth in that, though? Like, you know, you might not be making the big salary, but you're doing something that you're passionate about that makes you happy.
Absolutely.
For less money.
Mm. Absolutely. I've no doubt I could. Honestly, I always say this now, I could live on a fiver a week. You know, you can live very cheaply. When I was working, I was earning really well. Now, I'm very lucky that, you know, I had worked for so many years, very, very hard, very long hours. But I ended up having the house paid, so I don't have that pressure of trying to pay a mortgage on it.
Okay,
that is a biggie, you know, and I absolutely bow down and genuflect in front of anyone who's an artist trying to pay a mortgage or rent or anything. It's so difficult.
If you're an artist who can get a mortgage, you'd be genuflecting in front of them.
And I think we have to review all of that. The STEM, you know, I hear STEM the whole time, and it should be STEAM. In America, they've gone, you know, STEAM and
they are moving towards STEAM here as well.
Well, we are, until they've funded with the money, you know, and follow it up. That it's an important thing that you're an artist, you know. Not all painters are artists. They kind of automatically think that artists are painters and that you're painting all day. Like, artists are really curious people who explore something.
Just because I'm conscious of maybe there's listeners out there that got STEM, STEAM, where they come from. STEM is, you know, your science, technology
engineering, maths.
And you're saying in the US they have inserted that fifth letter, which you say, which for art.
And make it STEAM. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I think everyone should, you know, insist. And art is for everybody. And that's why I love art as exchange. It is for everybody. We do our lovely postcard project, and we did our lovely long walk exhibition where we had never seen each other's work. Wasn't that a pleasure to go and see everybody's work together? Mm. Lovely. It was just such a nice space.
I do know, you've just reminded me, some years back we were on holidays with one of my nieces who was pregnant.
Yeah.
And my daughter was quite young at the time. And she took great solace out of sitting and colouring.
Yeah,
and this apparently is something that her, not only herself but a number of her sisters have done during pregnancy. They will get children's colouring books and pens, and they sit and colour, and that's
And you know what better play? I spent all day in the sand pit at home. We always had a sand because Daddy was always a builder. He was a maker, so I think that's probably where I get my making from. I love to make. But actually, I hadn't discovered that until one day in college over in Drogheda. I was making clay. We were making clay moulds. And I actually started, like, I got so welled up with such emotion, remembering, like, 17 hours maybe outside in the sandpit making cakes out of sand, which that's about as much cakes as I ever make now, but they're out of sand, you know. And, like, moulds out of clay, playing with clay. Clay, I work with rushes a lot, so I love working with natural materials. And, like, I can't say that that's... Like, sometimes I feel guilty that I'm still playing, you know, and that is what I'm saying about I stand in my own way sometimes because I still feel, oh my God, you know, this isn't work. But actually, it is such an important piece of work, more important than I've ever made. I look back on my 17 years, I made nothing that anyone could be proud of or that would have talked to anybody else. Like, there were words, but now I have visuals to go with them, which are very precious to me. So it is
a wonderful way to be, you know, continuing with your life, to be doing something that you so, you obviously derive.
I feel inspired now. Give up my job and go and become an artist, except I have no artistic talent at all.
Oh, everyone has.
Listen, Una, are there any more plans for another exhibition?
I'm delighted, and it's probably you're going to be the first to hear it, but there is a linen biennale happening in Northern Ireland this year, and there will be linen events happening August, September and October, and I'm going to be the southern. I'm going to have a beautiful, I'm going to put up my Camino, and I did a lot of my work on the linen and the rushes all up in North Monaghan near this Mullen Village flax mill, and I went up and asked the owner, because remember the whole village was sold as a whole village and he's developing it nice and slowly, and he's just put the roof on the old dance hall. So I'm bringing all of my work back home. I feel like it's going back home, and it's going to be on display from the 10th of September until the 10th of October up there, and the heritage and everything behind that, you know, down here. So it's, oh, I'm so excited about that. I feel it's going to have done its full journey, you know. And so we'll be inviting everyone to come up and see that.
Excellent.
And what then, though, if you're, you know, you're because you feel it'll have done its full journey, will you have to retire that piece then?
I don't think I will. No, it'll probably still tour around. You know, there's lots of stuff still touring around that people still want to see. So, no, because now you'd be entering into, it could be starting the tour of Ireland, you know, but for me, it's kind of closure on that particular subject, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So now the galleries around Ireland are scheduling for, say, 2019. So it could be the start of the tour of that. Do you hear that? Galleries around Ireland.
Galleries around Ireland. Well, listen, if you're at a gallery near us, or even if you're at another gallery, maybe you come back and tell us about it. In the meantime, Una Curley, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, girls. Have a great day.
97.7 Dundalk FM.